For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The shorthanded Chicago Bulls at least make it interesting against the Cleveland Cavaliers despite losing 139-117. We're going to talk about it all and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. We got Steve-O in the building tonight. It's myself, Hayes. Steve-O, the Bulls throughout three quarters made this game very, very close. Now, this was a game of runs. The Bulls went on several runs. The Cleveland Cavaliers went on runs in this game. But ultimately, down the stretch of this game, the Bulls just don't have enough. The Cleveland Cavaliers finished this game after the six-minute mark of the fourth quarter, 6 minutes and 46 seconds left in the fourth quarter to the end, on a 32-10 run to end up beating the Chicago Bulls by 22 points. How you feeling, brother?
It was very similar to the last time we played them. Like, we kept it close the whole game. It was a battle. And then when they decided to turn it on and stop playing with us, that's what happened. They turned it on. They started making shots down the stretch. And it was the way they did it was a little bit different because I think they kind of figured out something towards the end. It was a night for Jared Allen. And once he was a threat, it opened up a lot of areas for Garland to do what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then when she got rolling, everybody else started rolling. So it is what it is. And like I said, like, we're going to see a lot of fun bad. And this was just fun bad. We didn't really expect them to come out and get a win like this. It's a good coach team. They got that advantage on them as well as talent. So, yeah, as long as they was able to keep in it as long as possible, I feel like that's more of a detriment to the Cavs more than it is to us. So I take it.
Yeah, and I think this too, like, this is one of those games where you look at it and, down the stretch of this game, 32 points over that last stretch that we talked about, the 32-10 stretch. In that, the Cavs shot 85% from the field, while the Bulls only shot 5-15 for 33%. They also got to the free throw line four times. The Bulls got none. The Bulls went 0-6 from three-point range. They went 5-7 from three-point range. Devontae Green, shout out to him, 10 points in that final stretch as well for the Cleveland Cavaliers. This was just an amazing end of the game stretch by the Cavs. Like, I get it. Like I said, it was a game of runs. You look throughout the runs in this game, there were several back and forth. Every time the Bulls went on a long run, the Cavs answered one back, and they battled in this game. But yeah, the team that's the number one team per record in the NBA right now, in the Cleveland Cavaliers, but the majority of their whole entire roster healthy except Evan Mobley, they pulled this one out down the stretch. And that's, I tell you what, I didn't even expect the Bulls to be in this game as long as what they are. The fact that they lost by 22 points isn't surprising at all, but the fact that it took a 32-10 run to get them that lead is a little surprising. How you feeling, Dub?
Oh, I'm feeling good, man. Thank you for letting me on here.
Y'all can come on anytime, any day y'all want for a post-game show. I stop inviting you niggas because every time I'm like, hey, post-game show, anybody want to slide through? Nobody would say shit. So I just like, fuck him.
Like, I'm happy to be here. Look, hey, man, the Bulls, am I getting my whole analysis about the game? Or
Yeah, go ahead.
The Bulls, I don't think they had a chance to win this game when you think about the talent. I give them great props for staying in this game as long, but I knew that the overall talent was going to win at the end. I did take some notes about the game. Like, they lost this at the free throw line, and this is a lesson that and from the Cavaliers, you know, they put the Cavaliers on the free throw line a lot. Maybe the refs helped a little bit. But this is a great lesson for these young kids on this basketball team. Like, if the shot's not hitting, see 44 attempts from three-point range, you only hit a quarter of them. You only shot 25%. You might want to try to get to the free throw line and get some extra buckets. But they'll learn. They was very competitive throughout the game. I would also like to say that Zach Collins can play better than I ever thought he could play.
Facts.
He is a good basketball player. So what position or what role?
He's only 27.
He's only 27. That's still young to me.
That's because you. That's because you 67 years old. So
bro, they right on, especially this one on the left right here. He really close to my age. Y'all don't even.
Bro, know. You're 15 years older. Than me. 15 years older than me. What do you mean?
Be it as it may,
my boy was paying bills while I was in biology class. What sense does that make, my boy?
What the hell? He was spending his time writing the Declaration of Independence.
What that? Okay, now I ain't ancient now. What's wrong with y'all, bro?
Hey, you and Paul Revere was good friends,
bro. That's hilarious, man.
Hey, man, look, THT. THT can go off sometimes, bro. Don't nobody get too excited about that. He's gonna go off like every 30 games or something like that.
Chicago, be unstoppable.
And just one more thing, this is absolutely a tank job. Absolutely. If you don't think it is, it is. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's a tank. I think they ran out of the tank. They used all the power they could in the first.
I mean,
quarter.
I can say that it's a tank job in the sense that I believe that the medical staff at Shoot Around Today went through and tapped players on their shoulders.
Okay.
Like, you're hurt tonight. Don't worry about it.
That's what I'm talking about.
That I agree.
Yeah, ankle. Oh, damn. How that shoulder feeling? I'm good. I can get ready to go. I got a little bit of sore. Oh, man. You're going to have to sit that down.
Yeah, you're going to sit down. We just can't got the x-rays back, bro. You're going to have to sit down for about two or three of them.
Yeah, but that's about it, man. It's fun watching these kids, though.
They're not lying. They said it was a quad injury, but this motherfucker Giddy ain't hurt his quad.
Come on, man. What's wrong with Vooch?
Well, Vooch is supposed to be a quad.
A calf. Okay, where did that come from? All right.
Like I said before, we've seen Nikola Vucevic play with a broken finger. He just taped that mug up. He played with a sprained back. He just taped that mug up. You know, we know what it is, right? But I want to piggyback off your point about Zach Collins. To me, Zach Collins' play here, if the Bulls draft a center in this draft, Nikola Vucevic is gone. There's no point in it. Zach Collins can fill in as a gap center as you develop your next center. Or if the next center you draft, you say, hey, we're going to Patrick Williams them and let them start from day one, Zach Collins can more so be your backup. Yeah, if Vooch is on the opening the roster opening night, and we drafted the center, once again, AK is not using his assets correctly, is my opinion on you,
bro. I've been screaming this to the top of my lungs. I think they kind of getting a little bit of the hint. I don't think Vooch is that hurt. I'm just me, my opinion. I don't think he's that hurt. He can play if he wanted or the Bulls want it. I just think we need a different style of center, and Zach Collins fit that mold pretty well. He's just a basketball player. He's not that talented or athletically gifted, but he knows how to play the game of basketball, he's a big man. Smart,
and he has a little bit of everything, and he understands how to put it together, right? Like, he's not hugely athletic, but he's athletic enough. He's not amazing defensively, but he understands where to be defensively. Yep. He's a good rebound. He fights for rebounder, and he's not an amazing – like, when you watch Zach Collins score, he scored 20 points today. I don't know if he had a single post move in it. No, that's not. A couple of those, right?
But like, it was just straight to it. That's what.
Yeah,
it was.
You give him the ball. He makes his decision. He does what he needs to do to get to the basket, and he's out of there. Like,
but it makes sense. He's a Gonzaga product. That's what they go out there and put. Like, for one, he got great NBA size, 6'11", 250 NBA size. That's what helped him. But the fundamentally, they gonna teach you fundamentally sound ball, and that's what he plays. Good hook, quick hook shot. Got to be able to make the open shot. If he shoot it, he's going to try to make it. He's been doing that. He only missed six shots tonight. It's 10 for 16. Well,
if they teach the fundamentals, can we send Patrick Williams back to Gonzaga? Oh, can he re-enroll?
I forgot all about this guy. I forgot all about this.
You know what? I had a whole show where I talked about the future of the Chicago Bulls, and somebody in it was like, hey, you know it's crazy when he doesn't even mention P. Will, and I was like, he didn't even cross my mind.
I swear.
Like, legitimately, I didn't do it on purpose. When I read that comment, I was like, shit, I didn't even mention P. Will, did I? Doesn't even cross my mind anymore.
No, it just goes back to when we made the draft pick and everybody was like, well, Devin Booker came off the bench. I'm like, no. You know, you're not an athletic big that goes to Florida State. Florida State put out forwards, and they put out good forwards. If you're coming off the bench, you wasn't that good. So that was my whole process. Like, I get it. He had all the intangibles that would make a great NBA star or a good prospect. But I think we didn't value the love of the game.
Are you saying that he's not number four? He's not the fourth pick?
Well, we already knew that.
Okay, that's what you
said. But I'm just, my thing.
Okay, because I think he could play NBA basketball.
He shouldn't even been thought of.
At the fourth.
No, I mean, I think Patrick, especially in that was a weaker draft, right? I think that, of course, in hindsight, Devin Vassell and Patrick Williams should have been flip-flop where they were drafted.
They was at the same school!
I know what I'm saying, as far as their draft position. They should have been flip-flop at their draft position, right?
And he couldn't beat out Scotty. And that was in the same draft. I mean,
but Scotty Barnes got different allegations going on. Scotty
but that's
Barnes
my point. Got but an extra my point chromosome. Is, even if the draft was weaker, fourth?
It was a bad pick. It is a bad pick.
It is what it is. But Patrick Williams can still play basketball. Yes, it's just like Patrick Williams has the type of game, for example, like if we would have drafted him where we drafted Taj Gibson at, most people wouldn't be complaining about Patrick
Williams. Right.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with
it's
that.
Just the fact that he drafted him fourth overall, and it was the first draft pick of this regime. But, you know, it is – we can't undo it. It is what it is. But let's talk about the new power forward that I still think should be playing small forward. I hope that we draft – like, well, if we draft a power forward, I would love to see Patrick Williams next to somebody like – I mean, sorry, Modest Bousillas next to somebody like Asa Newell. Modest in this game, 17 shots, 7-17, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block. The thing about Modest is that he's still not efficient scoring-wise, but when you watch Modest play the game of basketball, bro, I don't care what no – like, sometimes you just don't think about stats. The dude just looks so fluid out there playing the game of basketball. Like, it's just effortless. So once he starts adding the skill to the effortlessness he already plays with and a little bit more size and understanding of the NBA game, we got us one in Modest Bousillas, bro.
I think go ahead, Steve-O. Go ahead.
And that was my thing. Like, you're not going to get an efficient rookie. There's very rare you get an efficient rookie, and if they are, they're the next great. I think when it comes to him, like when you see him play, you just feel like, okay, he could play ball. Like, he has a natural knack to get a rebound, play defense, get a bucket when needs to. It's just not as controlled as it should be. And that's what happens when you have a mixture of you too damn tall and you got a handle and you athletically gifted. It's like it's so many things
crazy,
he can tap into.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Like, because usually he's a rare breed to me because, like, most people you see pick a lane. If you athletic like Montez, most people, I'm going to the hole just like that. He ain't looking to go to the hole just like that. He playing. He likes to shoot. He likes to use his handle. He's like to create his own shot. And when he needs to get to the ball hole, he will. Also, he's showing that he got a lot of two-way skills to him as well.
Defensively, yes.
Yeah. So it's like when it comes to year three, this motherfucker gonna be a demon. I'll be shocked if he not.
I don't know if Modest is ever going to be a lockdown defender. I don't know that, right? That's harder to project.
Yeah.
But I can absolutely see it to where you're not looking at Modest and saying he's a negative for you defensively on the court. And then when you add into that with what he can do block shot-wise and offensively. And the thing that we haven't seen about Modest is that we haven't really gotten to see much of Modest's game. And I don't know, as long as we have a point guard like Josh Giddey, how much we will see it. When Modest puts the ball on the floor, I don't know how many handle or moves he has. But I tell you what. He has such a quick first step, and he understands how to use it with his length. I don't know. Either one of you guys tell me. Did Modest play point guard before he hit his growth spurt? Because I wouldn't be surprised if he does, because he got some ball handling skills.
I don't know, I remember him just being tall.
He's always been a tall, lanky guy. He just had the handles with it. That's all.
I think his growth spurt came naturally.
Modest got a little bit of everything, man.
This is what I want to say about Montez, and I agree with both of these gentlemen on this panel. Montez has no idea how to play basketball right now.
NBA basketball?
NBA basketball. Yeah, that's what I mean. He has no idea.
He out there trash shit.
He out there just straight talent and quickness and dribble skill. And, oh, I'm open. I'm shooting it three. You know, he don't know how to come off a pick the right way. He don't know how to set a pick the right way. He don't know how to guard without fouling, as you can see in this game right here. Yeah. Like, he needs to learn the game. And once he does, he's going to be a threat. His gifts is going to make him the most athletic player in that matchup on any given day. His handle is going to make him a scary person to deal with on any even day. Like, once he learns how to play NBA professional basketball, it's going to be problems. Big problems.
It's like Jalen. It's like what dude in Houston. It's like with Green. Like, he was just out there doing shit, figuring it out. Now this year, well, towards the end of last year, now this year, we like, all right, he's starting to understand the game now.
Yep.
He ain't out there just using his athleticism. He out there really figuring it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just gonna take time and him paying attention, which we already seen he's starting to do.
And he 2 months late because of Billy ass.
And that's the main thing. He probably would have been anybody with this talent and 11th pick is starting way before he did.
Especially when Patrick Williams, it'll be different if Patrick Williams started off the season strong. Patrick's been disappointing literally since the beginning of the season.
Yes.
Last year.
Here's the question I want to ask you with that coming up. Regardless of whatever the Bulls, if they hit on a draft pick or not hit on a draft pick, how much do you think these young players are going to be able to develop as long as Billy Donovan is the head coach?
I want to put a lot of belief into these young players. First, I'm going to give a belief to Daylen Terry, I'm sorry. Because I believe I'm going to give him most of the credit to the players. Like, I'm going to give most of the credit to Montis Bouzelis. Y'all seen the way they played him early in the season. He played 5 minutes at a time. You might not see him for a couple of games. Julian Phillips, he get lost in the rotation. Every time he gets on the court, he just looks confident. He ain't scared of a damn thing. And he uses athleticism to play defense really tight. And I just thought... I just want to believe in the players. Not so much Billy Donovan, but I don't think he's going to have any effect of what they got to do to progress in this league. It's going to be entirely up to them, because we've seen for the last 4 or 5 years from Billy Donovan is player development is non-existent. Where's Simanovic? What, Carla Jones was MVP. He may not be that talented. You couldn't see if he could play. You couldn't see if he could play. He got MVP. Give him five minutes.
The Bulls may lead the G League in players that win MVPs but can't play at the MVP level. Because keep in mind, we had Antonio Blakeney.
Yep.
Who'd you just mention? Carlique Jones. And then there wasn't somebody else in the early 2000s we had in the G League that was balling out too. I'm thinking about Spencer Dinwiddie, but I don't think he was on our G League team. But Max Strus. We had Max Strus on the G League team, couldn't make the actual
team. Max Strus was on the G League team, yep.
No, you think he was right with Spencer. Spencer was on our G League
team. He was on our G League team?
Yeah, he was.
But that's my biggest concern is that the Bulls, in their attachment to Billy Donovan, and I get it while we had veterans, but now that you're shifting your roster towards development is the most important thing, I don't know if Billy is going to be the guy that you can get the most out of him. Now, I know we have a whole player development department in Peter Patton, and that's great, right? Make no mistake about it. I always talked about how Peter Patton sends him shots every game, like, hey, this is a good shot, this was a bad release, this is what you need to work on. But I say that's a bigger indictment. People talked about, like, well, why didn't we have a player development department? Do you know there are 5 teams in the NBA with player development departments, and all of them are losing teams? To me, the fact that you have to have a player development department is an indictment on Billy Donovan's inability to develop players.
I like that. That was good. The Bulls are one of those 5 teams with the player development.
And that's why I said you only good progression-wise as a player with Billy in your rookie contract. After your rookie contract, he can't do shit for you.
Bro, and I like what you just said, Drip. You just said that the direction of the team has changed. So the leader to...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The guide us in that direction has to change, because I don't think anybody with a clear mind can say they can that they trust Billy Donovan with these young guys. And probably another very good young guy we're going to get in this draft. It's going to be very important to make sure these guys are on the right path. Are we confident that Billy? I'm not confident.
I wasn't confident when we hired them. That's why I wanted Kenny Atkinson.
Listen, and here's the thing that bothers me, that I keep going back on it, right, is about Billy Donovan, is that even with Modest playing now, you can see we're not running shit for Modest Bousillas.
Nothing.
Modest Bousillas is going off pure instincts, and the guards and players that are out there are telling him stuff. Like, yeah, Billy Donovan will call him to the side and be like, hey, you missed that assignment. But if you look at the offense, it's all off instinct with Modest Bousillas.
Yeah.
A better head coach would be like, all right, bet, let's run a pick and pop for you.
I will
let's
say.
Let's run a backdoor screen for you.
They ran one play, I noticed, last game. One. And it's just a handoff screen, or he's receiving the handoff. Besides that, he's just standing in that court and waiting for that ball to come from a kick out. Besides that. But that's the only time I've ever, and that was what game, 60 games in, that I seen them actually draw one play, and that was the only time I seen that game. I'll tell you that.
I don't know. Yeah. I think he did better this season, though. I'll give Billy Donovan a little credit.
Because they basically had to say, hey, you're an idiot. So what we're going to do is we're going to remove DeMar, your safety net. That nigga's gone. What you going to do now? Oh, Zach? That motherfucker gone too. Now what you finna do?
Oh, you got to work now, motherfucker.
He said you did better this year. That's like a dude that hold a tech for a concert. Okay. He fuck up the concert the night previously, and they tell him, well, you still got the job, but you just got to handle the sound.
I'm saying one key factor that made me say that, Steve. They play hard this game right here. He ain't lost the team.
It's a different team.
But they still play hard, bro. It ain't that different.
It's completely different. It's Kobe. That's it. Kobe is the only one from the former squad.
Oh, you're talking back to that term.
They weren't fighting for Billy because they didn't want Billy there. These dudes realized they seen the press conference. They seen everything. They said, well, this motherfucker going to be my coach for the foreseeable future for now, so we might as well hoop. That's their mindset.
What a fucking feeling. What a feeling, bro.
Josh Giddey like, nigga, I'm trying to get paid, so why? What the fuck else I'm going to do? Montez like, nigga, I'm here. Shit.
Go talk to Jerry.
You seen Catfish? That nigga got the game last game and dunked. He felt that.
Catfish got him a dunk off your last game. I ain't gonna lie to you.
We can.
Listen, I mean, shout out to him on that dunk, bro. Like, even the fact
he used all his game breaker,
go out there and get it in the same game. We had two Kobe White dunks. He only got six on the season.
Kobe White, man. Kobe got a. He too old. He too much of a veteran to be playing like that. He play like a fucking rookie, bro.
Hey, man, I'm gonna start calling him Tyus collection,
bro. It took him 23 shots today to make 25 points, but he also chipped in 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals in this game, 1 block shot as well. I'll forgive. See, the thing with me, what I understand that Kobe's gonna have inefficient shooting nights. It's gonna happen. That's just by the nature of who he is, right? But I always look at it and say this: all right, what are you giving? Other than that, if your shooting's not on point, what are you giving us? Today it was rebounds, assists, and steals. I'll take that in a game like this tonight, right? Yeah. But the problem with Kobe so far this season has been when we need Kobe now, because we need him to be our leading scorer, it's been like, because Josh Giddey takes the need for assist off of him. Zach Collins and Modest have been rebounding really well as Josh Giddey. Not to say Kobe still hasn't rebounded solid, especially for a guard, but it's like, we need to be able to rely on you more. And I'm still a Kobe guy. I'm not down on Kobe. I'm not one of the guys that say you got to get Kobe the hell up out of here. But I'm just saying that Kobe, he needs to be better. And he talked about last season how he wanted to get his body and his mental ready for teams now game planning for him. Hey, nigga, you it right now, my boy. This is the time.
I'm just not liking how he playing. I don't like it. I feel like
he's immature the way he plays.
It's like – the style is changing. Like, it's not like Yeah, he always was a person to shoot a three, but now he living and dying by
living.
Like, if you look at his percentages, like, I'm pretty sure if you could go look it up, 50% of his shit, he looking for a step back.
Yeah,
whether it's a mid range or a three, you have one of the quickest first steps in the league, and you're 6'5". Go to the goddamn bucket, and if he do go to the bucket, he leave his feet too early, and he make a stupid ass pass. Yep. That has been a consistent thing that's been happening since he came in the league, dude. You ain't no two guard. You ain't gonna be a two. You gonna
wait. That's what he is. He ain't no point guard. What is he?
But I'm just saying.
Kobe White's better than a point guard.
That's what I'm saying. We've seen
you him. You know that Chuck, he ain't a good point guard.
But when I
gotta disagree with you. When Kobe was operating as a point guard, he created 18 points a game off drives. Now, he's not the traditional, I'm about to run a half court set, but he was a much better creator when he had the ball in his hands. Everybody looked at Kobe White scoring last year. The thing that I was most impressed by is that Kobe created open shots at a really good rate when he was able to drive and have the ball in his hands. He just doesn't do that anymore.
And you're right about last year.
And he's more efficient that way.
You're right about last year, absolutely. But this year,
more shooting guard this year.
Yeah, he's shooting guard. And what's really troubling about Kobe, I think he has an easier role, an easier job this year. Your job is to come into this game and score. You're the score.
But see, it's how you score, though. 56% of Kobe White's shots are three-pointers. That's never been his game. It's never been his game. He's not a three-point shooter. You can't try to turn Kobe White into Ben Gordon. He's not Ben Gordon.
He's a rhythm shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely a rhythm shooter. I think they should ban him from shooting 30-footers. He shoots way too many fucking 30-footers.
He should ban from 30-foot and transition three. Stop that shit. Go to the fucking butt. Look here, Nick. I hope you listen. Look here, Nick. Learn how to do a goddamn fast break.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how many times I've seen you fuck up a fast break. You are one of the fastest people in the league. Take your Troy Polamalu looking ass to the goddamn paint.
So I just went and looked. The only time where Kobe White, the majority, over 50% of his shots came from three was the 2021-22 season when they were playing him at shooting guard. That was the first year where we had DeMar and all those guys. We know that they weren't using him correctly. Other than that season, the most three-pointers he ever shot was 42%. That's where Kobe White needs to be at. He's a rhythm scorer. As Steve-O, the way he needs to be able to score, creating in the mid-range, driving, trying to get to the rim. Now, he needs to stop leaving his feet and try to draw fouls, because I think if Kobe White could get to the free throw line a little bit more, that can unlock his game some. But this trying to make Kobe White into Ben Gordon is not – that's not who he is. It's not who he is.
You got to be – you got to be a pure shooter. He was never a pure shooter.
Oh, no, he a volume shooter.
And that's how he playing. Like, it looked like he looked like games out there where he just looked like Clay. I'm like, nigga, go to the lane.
Kobe a baller, though, man. I'm going to give him a compliment before we move on. He a baller.
I'm just saying, what you work on dribble too much for just to goddamn do a step back?
And to Steve-O's point, Kobe White is in the 90th percentile in the NBA.
For step back.
Of step backs. He's doing this shit way too much, bro.
I've been telling y'all.
That's what he learned from dribble too much, Steve. What are you talking about?
That nigga ain't no. Dribble too much help you with counters and reacting.
You ain't see the clips. You ain't see the clips, Steve.
No. Dribble too much. No, this goofy motherfucker gonna at least do one, so I might as well make do some drills when he prepared to do it. But majority of dribble is just to clean up your handling so you used to doing certain movements and just reacting off certain things. Because I know he don't use it though.
I think he's doing too much, honestly. I think he uses it too much.
Bro, if you're going to the lane, you know how many times we see him break somebody down?
Yeah.
But and then he's in that mid-range level in that free throw line and he turns around for a step back. Or he turns around and go back to three. Yeah. Last year, he was going to that lane.
Yeah, or he'll pull up that mid-range.
Or a floater.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all I'm saying. That's what's frustrating about it. I know he could play better than this. It's just I don't know if he's choosing to do the act to play this way or they're making him play this way.
Look at it from his plight, though. The make of the team has changed from last year, maybe three to four times, bro. and maybe his job mm-hmm. has changed at with those changes. So I give him that excuse, but it really ain't no excuse though. It ain't.
I mean, that's a fair point. We gave him out of anybody on this team, including Zach, he's been asked the most to change his game.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
And how he flourished though, Steve. He flourished last year. Give him the ball and do what you want to do.
But the problem with that is, okay, then what do you do with Giddey? Because Giddey can't play off ball.
You're right, Drip. We can't do that. So he got to figure out a way to fit in, because I think it's going to be Giddey. Giddey is just impressing.
And so he's going to have to fit down around Giddey. That's why I said I don't know if we should keep him. It's not because of the talent. It's because of the fit.
I ain't mad at you.
I feel like he has enough value and enough cachet around the league where we could get some solid.
Definitely.
Let me shut the fuck up. I don't even know I'm talking. AK is my fucking GM.
Here's the thing. I think that there's a coach in the league that can make Kobe and Giddey work. Billy Donovan isn't that coach. To get back to a point that we were on, Billy Donovan isn't the coach to come up with any type. You know who Billy Donovan is? Billy Donovan is Vinny Del Negro, but he came in with the college reputation and success.
Yeah, that first year.
When you go and look at like Vinny Del Negro was a perfectly cool coach for those first 2 years with Derrick Rose, right? He didn't get in the way of Derrick Rose's development. But what did you look at Vinny Del Negro and be like, oh, he drew up a great offensive scheme? No, it was just, hey, I know how to put the right guys in the game at the right time, and I'm not going to get in the way.
Derrick, do something.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a difference. You're definitely right. Like, when you can talk about Coach Spo and then you bring up Billy Donovan, it's obvious differences when it comes to strategy.
He's gonna be a Hall of Famer, and he did amazing work in college. He deserves every bit of the accolades that he got in college. But I don't know if it's because of it's just he doesn't know how to relate. When you're in college, you operate you're basically the GM and the coach, because you're deciding on the roster. You're going out and recruiting guys in college. I don't know what it is, but Billy Donovan there's never been a time where I look at Billy Donovan and I say, oh, that was a really creative play. No, like he's ran some plays before, but it's more about like, oh, DeMar hit a tough shot at the end of a okay play call, or, Zach LaVine was able to get around the defender and finish strongly at the rim. Is a dunk a play call?
No. I ain't gonna lie. At least Vince put the ball in the hands and tell you to do something. This motherfucker tell him, I'll just go stand in the corner.
Yeah.
And I will give Vinny that credit as well. Vinny got everybody involved. Luau had one of his best seasons under Vinny Del Negro. He found a way to make Ben Gordon and Derrick Rose worked under. If you gave Derrick Rose and Ben Gordon to Billy Donovan, you know what would end up happening? Derrick Rose would end up driving to the lane a bunch and kicking it out to Ben Gordon, who would then take an off-balance three-point shot, and that's what the fuck we'd be looking at.
And we would have.
Bro, you're so true, bro.
And we would have had 17 team meetings by the All-Star break.
Bro, what the fuck? That was scary, bro. That was real. That was real, Drip. That's exactly what it did. We probably would have never seen D. Rose, bro.
And Joe Kim just would have been standing there waiting for the ball.
No, that whole creative way that we ended up using Joe Kim Noah, where he was
never would have happened.
He got to do some actual ball handling as a center, and we got to see Derrick Rose come down off pin downs and things like that, because Joe Kim Noah was handling the ball like a guard. That would never happen under Billy Donovan. And what's crazy about that is, who did Joe Kim Noah play for in college?
Billy.
And guess what? You weren't seeing Joe King doing that shit in Florida.
He love him.
Joe King was not doing that shit in Florida.
So,
and that's why I feel like I was saying, I don't care how people say, you call me a Billy hater if you want to. He go to college right now, he not doing the same shit he did 20 years ago.
The game's changed way too much. He already proved that he can touch. He can reach kids.
I don't believe it.
I'm not going to deny
it. I'm glad you changed the word there, first of all.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He switched that touch to reach very quick.
With the young ball players, okay? He already proved that. I'm going to be fair. Let me ask you this though.
That's a
small sample size.
Do you feel like you're seeing more NBA style offenses right now in college than ever before?
I do, 100%.
So with that, do you think that could affect the way that Billy Donovan could have success?
No, absolutely. I think he can adjust. I just want to give him his credit for he didn't show me. Damn, why are you laughing? I just want to give him his respect in college. He was a good coach, right?
Only team he beat.
He's a Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame college coach.
Damn, but that was the game. It was 2003.
Bro, dude can go, like, you think Bill Belichick can go to the NCAA different. And coach?
It's different. Football is football.
Okay. We disagree.
We seen a Super Bowl that was 10-3. That's all I'm saying. And it was recent.
10-3 Super Bowl?
Yes. Rams and New England.
Oh, it was a short game. It was a low scoring game.
All I'm saying is he go to college. The only teams he got chance beating is UNC, Kansas, and them. You know why? Because they still running it like it's fucking 1995.
Kansas is never going to change. And I don't know if they should, but Kansas literally.
No, they got to change or they're never going to win again.
Bro, Kansas is just Kansas? That team that it's like. Kansas has been running the same offense as Kirk Heinrich was their point.
And the UNC. That's why ain't nobody going to the league out of UNC no more. Cam Johnson was the last one. And guess what? Why he made it? Because he could shoot.
Bro, stop playing with UNC like that, bro.
What was the last cold UNC player to come out?
Bro, they got some players finna get drafted.
I ain't trying to hear what you're talking about. Who was the last cold UNC player to come out?
Oh,
Cam Johnson. Like I just told you.
Oh, well, we got one on our team, Kobe White.
Kobe White, yeah, boy.
Okay, besides Kobe.
No, I mean, the Kobe and Cam played together, so that was last.
Kobe was probably the coldest one in the last 10 years before that.
That ain't true, bro.
Bro, the last cold point guard them niggas had was Raymond Felton. I'm not trying to hear that. That nigga was
don't stop playing with Mike Collins, bro.
And that nigga came into the lead 30 pounds overweight. What the fuck you talking about?
Stop playing with Mike Collins, bro.
That's hilarious, man.
But you see, bro, they ain't been the same, bro. They had the championship in their hands, and them niggas let them niggas come down and hit a game. They're done.
Oh my goodness!
They need to change,
bro. That's no.
I'm on them. Damian Ross is Julius Peppers,
bro.
Anyway, thank you for the super chat. He says, "Great job on the content. We appreciate you, brother." But we didn't roast it, Billy Donovan. Scotty Barnes got completely killed in the chat. For those that could go back and look at that, that's crazy, bro.
Raymond Felton,
he was that boy.
There you go.
Yeah, Raymond Felton was cold.
No, I was saying as a compliment, Raymond. But I'm saying that's how long ago that was. That was what 2004.
It don't matter.
I don't even know. Raymond Felton does. He looks like Rasputia from Norbit now, though.
That nigga look like
Raymond Felton been eating people.
that's the closest human I've seen to a beaver in my life. Like that nigga build dams. I'm just trying to tell you.
We appreciate y'all for tuning in, man. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. Y'all can follow CW and them over there at Shot Bulls Podcast with the Cognac Boys. Man, you'll send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and or voicemail.
For I am. What are you talking about?
The number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bears, Chicago Bulls related. We out this month.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.